Welcome to Prince Watch, the all-inclusive podcast for the upcoming Half-Blood Prince film. My name is Aaron, also known as Aaron Goddard on the Chamber of Secrets forums.
I'm Vince, also known as Master of Death on the COS forums.
I'm Britt, also known as House Elf 25 on the COS forums.
Hey, this is Scott, also known as LC Baseball 22 on the forums.
And I'm Misha, also known as Misha 1971 on the Chamber of Secret forums.
Please note that this podcast will be discussing spoilers about the upcoming film, most notably about the recent test screen. If you wish not to be spoiled, please do not listen.
In the news this week, we have information about a test screening that happened in Chicago. It was supposed to be top secret, obviously things got leaked, and now we basically know a rough cut of the film. Basically, it was not completely finished. It was just a rough cut, lots of CGI still being completed. But we are going to tell you what we know from the chapters that we reported to you last time in our list. So, starting with the other minister, we reported last week that actress Teresa Mahoney will be playing a new character who did not appear in the book, Sophie. From the new information in the test screening, we can infer that Sophie is in the ultra-modern office building overlooking the Millennium Bridge. We have had it confirmed from test screening viewers that the Muggle Prime Minister is cut. And also we have a new description of the opening scene, which we were confused about based on the various reports we had received prior to this. One of the attendees gave us a description. The movie opens with a scene from Order of the Phoenix of Dumbledore and Harry at the Ministry on the night that Sirius dies, standing in front of a barrage of flash bulbs. Then it transitions to the WB logo and Harry Potter. Then it goes into an interior shot of an ultra-modern office building overlooking the Millennium Bridge. There are dementors flying through the air, and the bridge starts to wave violently, then collapses with lots of people on it.
Oh, something I wanted to add, by the way. We've also heard, I think just recently, that right after this bridge attack, there is other attacks on Muggles, and they enter Diagon Alley and abduct who supposedly was supposed to be Ollivander.
Oh, yeah.
Seems. So,
well,
I think that's kind of cool that they, you know, I'm surprised they're actually including that Ollivander in this movie. I thought for sure that would be cut.
Well, maybe that means that gives us hope for the next movie with.
Yeah, they can refer back to it in Deathly Hallows.
Well, wasn't he confirmed for Deathly Hallows?
He hinted at it.
He hinted that he was going to be back. Entirely confirmed, but he said he would like to come back for the role.
Yeah, it sounds really frightening, though, the way it sounds in the from the script.
Yeah, they like
the screenings.
The bag over his head or something.
Yeah,
drag him away.
Put a bag over his head.
Yeah, apparently some people weren't really sure who he was, but they inferred that it was Ollivander.
They go into the shop, so.
It's empty, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be cool then.
And I'm just, this whole opening sounds like it's going to be really cool, amped up action. It should be a lot better than just hearing these two guys talk about this stuff. In a boring conversation at the beginning of the movie. So I think this is a really good way to start off the film. Started off with a bang, so.
Yeah.
Okay. For the Spinner's End scene, or chapter, we have heard that it has moved in the film to just after Harry rides at the Burrow instead of just after the Millennium Bridge, Other Minister kind of scene. Test screen viewers have confirmed that Narcissa is not a blonde in this film. She is a brunette with a big blonde streak in her hair. We have no idea whose decision that was, but it's a little questionable. Yet again, we have more information from the test screening. Bellatrix does not question Snape's loyalty in this scene. We are still left to wonder if this is a trick to trying to trick the audience into thinking Snape really is evil. Snape does say that the Dark Lord has already told him of the plan that Narcissa is about to reveal, and Bellatrix does seem surprised.
Well, first off, I'm a bit surprised it's been moved, because I actually thought the spin thing would be a good starting sequence. So I am surprised it's been moved a bit further into the film.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you really think that? I don't see it as an opening chapter, though. I had seen this as an opening scene, too.
When we thought that the first chapter was cut, I thought this would make a really good cinematic opening scene.
Yeah.
To start off with seeing the title of the book.
But it would be... That's so random, though, just to... Like,
yeah, it's not really a good opening.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, how could you just jump up right into this random house with this? I don't know. Like it.
Because the vow sets up the entire movie.
Yeah, but you kind of need to lead into that, though. They need a lead in for that. Too.
But I think it works better. Like it was in the book, where it's describing what's going on outside of the Wizarding World, and then bringing it in a little closer.
Harry, and then into Harry.
I think it's better to see Harry first and everything, and then how we go into Spinner's End. I think that's better.
I think it'll work either way. I just think it would have been a little... I like the placement in the book a little bit better.
Yeah, and I do like the Spinner's End coming before we get to see Harry, but they do need a lead-in to Spinner's End, though.
Yeah.
But that's not the way they're doing it.
Yeah, and I just
come alone on this.
Cannot understand the skunk hair at all. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think anybody understands
why they do that.
It's a very curious decision.
I really don't
understand that.
So, the interrogation. Why is that being cut? Isn't that the entire point of the scene to set up?
I thought that was the point of the scene. I thought that was the point of the scene. I mean.
Yeah, it will. I always thought so too.
You got to set him up, you know. You have to set.
Yeah.
And you got to put Snape into the forefront of the movie. You know, you got to let people know he's going to be a key character in this movie. So.
Yeah, and it shows that he's being mistrusted on both sides, because the Death Eaters are questioning him.
It sets up the ambiguity. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sets up the ambiguity. Of
nobody knows where he's at. You know. But they cut.
And now it's gonna come out of the blue, yeah.
Yeah,
it's gonna come and, you know, yeah.
But that kind of works too with him being portrayed as definitely being on Voldemort's side, and then coming back in Deathly Hallows. That's gonna make that more of an impact when they find out. Oh no, he wasn't.
Well, in this film is gonna be good throughout the entire film, right? And then at the very end, it's like, fooled you. He's, you know, he kills Dumbledore.
Oh, I had the opposite reaction with the book. I mean, I thought he was pretty bad through all the way through. So, I think
all know what I'm shifting to.
Now, I liked Snape as a character.
Yeah, but.
But yeah, I did get the impression from Spinner's End, because he was able to answer all those questions and convince her, you know, with no holes or whatever, well, yes, I'm completely loyal to Voldemort. And so, from that point, it's like, okay, he's fooled Dumbledore. And, you know, so it wasn't that much of a surprise for me at the end.
Yeah, this was a scene for me when I was reading that I had it kind of in the back of my mind from there that, okay, maybe he is really evil. I'd always thought Snape to be good. You know, he's not the nicest character, but he was good. He
right.
was loyal. And yeah. After I had read the ending, I kind of thought back to this, and I was like, you know, I should have realized it from that first scene right there that he was evil. And of course I was wrong, because we know what happens in Deathly Hallows.
Right.
But this was the scene that was kind of like, Oh my god, I can't believe it.
With me, I completely forgot about the first scene and kind of knew it was good from the way of finishing.
Yeah, because I got sucked into the book and I forgot about some of the stuff. And I
Actually, so did I, the first time I read it. Yeah.
And the description of the Unbreakable Vow later on, like what it actually was, I mean, that should have been a giveaway too to me, it seemed, but...
Yeah, so I was expecting that all the way through, because that first scene there just set it all up that he was going to come and do something bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the spoilers didn't help much there, but yeah, that first chapter, or the Spinner's End chapter, yeah, the second chapter, just really set it up that he was fooling Dumbledore. Because he was able to answer all of Bellatrix's questions without any
exactly
answer anything. So, yeah.
Shall we move on to chapter 3?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. For chapter 3, we have Will and Won't. We have had it confirmed from test screenings that the Dursleys and Creature are cut. There are no Dursleys, no private drive. No inheriting Grimald's place or creature, and as there's no creature, there's no Dobby. We've heard more about the opening scene, which apparently has been moved from this scene has been moved from where it happens in the book to further up in the chronology. Directly after the bridge attack, Harry is in Little Whinging at a cafe by a train station. He is reading the paper about the bridge collapse, and he asks the waitress what time she gets off work. However, he is then distracted by a train which departs to reveal Dumbledore, with standing on the opposite platform. Harry and Dumbledore sidewalk apparate to the village where Slughorn is staying. Our source says that the special effect appeared to be completed was perfect in matching to the canon description of the act. Dumbledore's withered hand is confirmed, although a test screening viewer told us that we see the hand, but it's not thoroughly explained. It's hinted at. There's no really...
Like, I don't get that.
For sure reason, yeah.
I don't understand. How could you have him with his withered hand and then never question it?
That's odd.
Yeah,
it's just kind of common sense sort of thing. Like, you know, if you see somebody walking around with a splint or something or a cast, you know, you always ask, like, how'd that
happen? What happened?
You know?
Yeah.
Something I think we all have to think about when we see these test screening reviews is that some of them did say that during the viewing, they were disturbed during some of it from people that weren't really interested in talking through it. So they didn't pick up on every single little detail.
But it's not a detail if he mentions it. Like, well, there, sir, like, what's wrong with your hand, sir?
Right. Well, there's also that one of the comments on the screening was that when he put the ring on later in the movie, his hand decayed or something.
That can't work.
Because they're saying that the ring is still a Horcrux at that point, and then he destroys it later. So maybe the injury is going to be brought into it later on.
It could be. I got the impression that they were a bit confused, that they were seeing a flashback and thought that was what it was.
That's what I'm wondering.
That can't work because he arranged his death with Snape.
Exactly.
Because in the script leak, there's a flashback to when he puts the ring on, and that may be what they saw and thought that it was happening real time.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that doesn't make any sense if that's later on in the movie.
Yeah, that is something that needs to happen before because
they move
he plans it all out.
Way off into the hands.
Right.
I'm kind of angry about how there's no Dursleys or Houseelf.
Funny
scene.
It's not just that, but it sets up why Harry has to stay there and why he's still going to be there in Deathly Hallows when they have to do the whole Seven Potters thing, you know. So
but if he's sitting in a cafe, I don't think
they're kind of destroying that whole thing. Yeah. So.
I don't think protection is too important.
We got Harry the Playa in this movie.
Oh my God, that is. I'm still very worried about that scene. That just does not sound right.
Since when does Harry flirt with anyone?
I know. Yeah, and it does bug me that he's just sitting there with no protection or anything, and he's supposed to be in all this danger. And people will notice that. I mean, some people won't, but some people will. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to those horror movies and you got the ditzy blonde going down the dark alley and everybody's yelling, don't do that, don't do that. You know?
Exactly.
And that's what this makes me think of, you know.
That's
the witch in Aura.
Yeah.
I think that's highly unlikely.
I do, too.
And if she is, it's not.
They're not going to pick up on it, yeah.
I think some of these cuts, they're really shooting themselves in the foot for the last movie, for Deathly Hallows, cutting the elves.
Yeah, the house elves is a big thing, too.
Like, they included, told them to include Creature in the fifth movie.
Right.
She didn't really tell them why, I don't believe.
Yeah, but now they know.
Yeah, exactly.
The Creature and the Will can be moved to Deathly Hallows. Right.
Yeah.
True.
Well, that's true. But Dobby is someone that they really needed to set Dobby up.
They certainly have the time to introduce all these things if they want in the beginning of the film. But it's just going to seem like it's going to be overloaded.
Much,
They're going to throw all this stuff
that's
back.
It's going to be forced. It's going to be too forced.
Yeah. Because they really haven't set up the devotion that Dobby has. Because I mean, we haven't seen him since the second movie. And, you know, they cut him from the fourth, and they're cutting him from this one. And so they're going to try to build up, you know, these, what, 3-4 years worth of that he's built up this devotion towards Harry.
But should we be moving on, since that's Deathly Hallows, and this is a Half-Blood Prince?
Yeah. Well, that's why he needs to be in Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they have a really good spot they could have put him in there, you know, with the elf tales and all that, but that's later on down the line.
The owls being cut. Well,
owls?
Elves.
The elves.
Oh, elves. Okay. Sorry. Yes.
Well, a while ago, I did kind of think that they had to be in, and I'd be really annoyed if they weren't, but now that they are confirmed cut, there were kind of, there was hints that they might be cut, so I'm not that annoyed.
There's also hints that they might be in, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but more hints that they
were going to be in, I think, than cut.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still not giving up hope because they are CGI creatures, and if they truly do want to introduce them as a surprise, possibly,
I'm not giving
they could
hope,
be in the final
hope
cut of the film. But
I'm not giving up hope for Scrimgeour.
Yeah.
I want my Scrimgeour in.
Yeah, it would be nice if they surprise us.
Yeah,
definitely.
I want my Scrimmy in
there. Is that all?
Okay, is that it for the news?
Alright.
That's it for the news this week. We will bring you up to date on whatever news we get next time we have our podcast. On to the list!
This podcast was created as a companion to our Half-Blood Prince list, which contains everything known about the film thus far. Each episode, we will discuss 3 chapters from the book and how they translate to the film. Alright, so for this week, we are going to be discussing chapters 4-6 in Half-Blood Prince list. So, chapter 4. War's Slughorn. The scenes outside Slughorn's house have all already been filmed. They have recreated the entire village of Budley Babberton from the book, including the old war memorial. There is a store called Babberton Arms in the background. And we have some pics of the town, and just kind of looks like an old sort of industrial town. We also have a picture of Harry and Dumbledore that surfaced of them walking around the town.
I think these are really cool pictures, and I think they did a really good job creating a village, especially since England got all those little villages like that.
Yeah.
I just think that's really cool that they actually went somewhere and instead of, like, doing it in the studio.
It's cool how they kept the war memorial and stuff from the book. That's cool.
Yeah. Yay, canon!
I think it's a real art canon, isn't it? That's a war memorial.
I mean, canon, like...
Canon. Yeah, like canon. Book, go book. Boom.
No, she
no,
meant canon as in
canon.
The book.
Canon. Yeah, but, you know, I'm making a joke.
Yeah. Anyway.
Next!
And I assume this is going to be a scene in the dark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of pics are in the dark. Looks like they filmed it at night, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you all think of Dumbledore's new look?
New
look. Kind of different to me.
His hair looks a lot straighter.
Softer, straighter, and whiter.
Yeah, it's not quite as gray as it was.
It looks a lot more like Richard Harris now.
Oh, we should mention that in this picture, the effects are not finished. It's still light out, as you know. We've heard that it's probably going to be a scene during the dark. At least it was in the book.
Yeah.
And you can actually see a little bit of the green screen glove on a couple of his fingers that are showing, just barely. So the effects are not finished yet. Or his hand.
That is kind of cool to see, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Like the green screen.
I'm wondering if they're going to have the injury to the hand progress. Did anybody say anything about that?
I remember it's just not very noticeable.
Because it looks like it's just a couple of fingers here.
I'm wondering...
Maybe that's why he doesn't mention it, yeah.
These pictures... some of them that they've released, like the necklace and some others that didn't have effects, when they were taken, like if they are farther along now to where these effects are actually finished, or if this was how they saw it when they saw the test screening.
I don't know.
Maybe.
So, moving on, Jim Broadbent has been cast as Horace Slughorn. He's only read the 6th book in preparation for his role as the new Potions Master. And we've got a picture of him. He's definitely not as short and pudgy as the Slughorn is described or seen in the book. He's a lot taller. He's not wearing... It doesn't look like he's wearing a fat suit as we would assume he would. And he looks a little bit like...
He doesn't have a mustache.
Oh, right. No,
yeah.
Walrus mustache. And he looks kind of like a... college student. He's got a mortarboard hat on. He looks like he's about to graduate or something.
But
that's actually very common with British professors. They wear those funky hats. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but not wizard British professors, right?
Except for Slughorn.
So
Slughorn's just weird.
Broadbent as Slughorn, and his look.
I think I've seen him in a couple other movies, and I think he's a pretty good actor. So I think despite the book issue that we seem to be having, I think he might actually do pretty good. I mean, even though he only read one of the books, that's the only one he's really in.
Yeah, that's all he needs to read.
Deathly Hallows. So, yeah, it's not like Gambit only reading one book or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Dan only one book.
Yeah, it's not like a character that appears over and over in every single book and they should read all the...
Somebody we know, yeah.
So we had a couple test screen viewers describe the film portrayal of Slughorn. Been kind of mixed. So one of my largest concerns for the movie was getting to see Jim Broadbent as Horace Slughorn. Don't worry. Throughout the movie, I was continuously impressed with how they adapted the character to film. And to say that he drifts my Slughorn from the book satisfactorily with a little extra is true. The scene where they meet Slughorn is surprisingly close to the events of the book, as is most of the movie, actually. I was surprised and delighted to see Couch Slughorn put to film. I think that's really cool, too, that they kept that
part.
There's a second description from another viewer. Dumbledore takes Harry along to Slughorn's, and at this point, I thought I was getting a little wary, considering Slughorn wasn't at all like I imagined him to be. There's an illustration of Slughorn in the book, and that's more or less what I thought he would look like, whereas in the movie, he's much taller and a little thinner, and less indulgent and opulent looking. So I was a little disappointed by that, but trust me, as the movie goes on, that doesn't matter a bit, because he fits in very well with the whole package.
That's very, very good to know.
So yeah, it seems like he's different, but Most viewers seem to be pleased. It's a different take on it, but it works, it sounds.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think I've seen one person say that they didn't like him. As Slughorn said, he wasn't much like the book, but everybody else seems to have said he did really well.
It's mixed, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we expect from him. I mean, he's a good actor. And the ones that were complaining was more about the look rather than the actual character portrayal itself.
The one girl on Leaky was complaining about the portrayal.
Oh, that's right.
But it's mainly because she didn't see him as the eccentric, you know, liking the finer things in life the way he was portrayed in the book. But everybody else said it's been pretty good, so.
That's good to know.
So in the sneak peek from all the way back in December, I believe it was, we can see a few pictures of the inside of Slughorn's home. It looks like it's a little bit trashed and destroyed in the one picture. And the chair transformation has been confirmed, as we just mentioned a little bit earlier. The chair version of Slughorn was also in the press room. I quickly had a seat in it. This is from the MuggleNet set report teaser. I plopped myself down a little too quickly and unexpectedly sank into it. His pajamas, which were right next to the chair, matched the cloth on the couch, and the transformation should be something hysterical.
That's one of the scenes that...
Yeah.
That's like the most fun.
Yeah, I like that. It was a chair in the book. Oh, but it looks like a couch chair.
I bet in the movie, they sit in the chair by accident?
No, this is... When he was going around for the set report,
okay, this has nothing to do with
he sat down in it, the prop that they were using.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about the characters.
And it matched his pajamas.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a fun scene.
No, they're going to walk to the house and, you know, be where Slughorn and Dumbledore's going to, that chair over there looks a little funny and it's going to transform. That should be really cool to see, cool effect.
Yeah. Well, I thought in the book, in the book he pokes him.
Yeah, I wonder if he's gonna poke him as well.
Yeah, because he did that whole that hurt.
Yeah.
I got a bad back or something. Didn't he say that?
Yeah, he's like complaining about how old he is, and Dumbledore's like 100 years older.
Yeah. So you said there was a comical scene where somebody goes to draw the drapes and the entire curtain falls. We're not entirely sure, but we think
that
this might be part of the scene in Slughorn's house. And there's also a picture of Dumbledore and Slughorn that surfaced. I had a little bit of information through a private message. I asked about the scene, and because it just looks kind of odd, like Dumbledore is intently looking around the room for Death Eaters or something, and I guess he just has his wand out cleaning up the mess. Cleaning the blood, the walls, or whatever it was in the book.
That's kind of weird because in the book they both clean up.
Yeah,
they're like back to back, and then they're like
sweeping their wands. Yeah.
Yeah, one short fat wizard, and one.
You think they're gonna keep the smeared blood all over the wall?
That would be cool.
They could probably get away with that with considering it's supposed to be dragon blood.
Yeah,
oh, that's
green,
right.
Yeah, with the sensors, I mean, right? Yeah.
Slughorn was like, "Oh, you guys, you didn't give me much time. You know, I did this just in a couple minutes, whatever." I heard you.
Got a lot
and
done.
In the book, he goes into whining about being old and how he didn't move as fast as he could.
And Dumbledore says, "Wow, you sure prepared this pretty quickly."
So I
wonder if they'll include that in the movie is like kind of a banter thing.
And I wonder
if we got the dark mark.
Yeah, the whole part where he's being hunted by the Death Eaters, or he's on the move constantly.
That sets up the whole Horcrux. Because
that was his reason for taking the job, was because he felt he was safe at
Hogwarts.
I assume they'll have something like that in the movie.
And they included the knitting patterns line.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Regulus Black, R.A.B., was cast, and he's going to appear in a picture in Slughorn's house or office. We did have confirmed, I believe.
I think it's later on.
Probably in his office. We've heard of a lot of photos, moving pictures.
Yes.
all over the film.
Yeah.
We don't know where they're going to be seen.
Wait, I remember, I believe in this chapter, when Harry and Slughorn are talking one-on-one, Slughorn mentions, and so he might be, like, wistfully looking at Reglan's picture or something, I don't know. But,
yeah, Harry had gone over to the mantle or something and was looking
I think they might move that, though.
Probably.
Still later on.
Wasn't one of them a picture of Lily? I wonder if they're going to do any of...
There was
some stuff in the sixth book where, he talked about Lily being his favorite student and how he was surprised because she was Muggle-born and how...
She was cast in Lily, so probably.
I wonder if all that is going to be...
Yeah, she was cast in the movie, remember?
Yeah, there was a thing on Snitch Seeker about her being a photograph.
Portrait. I mean, her
a
picture,
portrait,
yeah.
Oh, I thought that was for Deathly Hallows they were talking about.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was talking about both, yeah. Deathly Prince and Deathly Hallows, yeah.
Now, is that the Lily that was cast for Order of the Phoenix? Are they bringing her back?
The same one.
Okay.
Same one all through the movie.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was the older lady, which wouldn't make sense.
Oh. I'm not that sure about
Geraldine.
That.
Geraldine. I don't know what her name is. And then one more picture. Young Lucius Malfoy, kind of interesting, was cast, and the actor Tony Coburn stated he was only needed for a picture.
Could be a Slug Club thing.
A lot of pictures, yeah. Sounds like they're really developing the Slug Club.
Yeah, he was in the Slug Club, right?
And the last thing in this chapter, and it was at the very end of the book, too, Slughorn is going to shout, all right, I'll take the job, as Harry and Dumbledore leave the house, just like in the book.
That's cool. Right?
Yay!
So yay for canon.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, chapter 5, An Excess of Phlegm. The Burrow is confirmed as in the movie. Julie Walters has been recast as Mrs. Weasley, and Mark Williams has been recast as Mr. Weasley. Fleur Delacour has been cut, and we can assume that Bill has been cut too, and I believe it's actually been confirmed now by the test screening that Bill is cut as well. A picture of Harry and Ginny has emerged online. It's most likely to take place when Harry arrives at the Burrow, and it has now been confirmed that it is when he arrives at the Burrow. And I'm going... Let's see. So some additional support for the assumption. Romance Bug is making its round in the film, with Dan speaking of a script direction, an oddly charged moment between Harry and Ginny when they first see each other in the Burrow. And this has been further described then by the test screening viewers. They say, it's actually another really cute part of the movie. Dumbledore tells Harry that his trunk and Hedwig are waiting for him at the Burrow, whilst they're still wherever they are getting slowed. And then it cuts to the Burrow, and Ginny comes downstairs and sees Harry's stuff and yells for her mom, wanting to know when Harry arrived. Molly sticks her head over the railing from one of the higher floors and tells her that Harry hasn't arrived, and Ginny says something about his stuff being there. Then Ron sticks his head over the railing from higher up and says, "Did someone say Harry? What about Harry?" And Ginny says, "Is he up there with you?" Ron says, "I think I'd know if my best mate was here, wouldn't I?" And then the same thing happens with Hermione, and they all get downstairs just as Harry comes in.
Oh, that's cute.
It sounds like it'll be a cute scene. I like that.
Yeah, it is cute.
And so you have to wonder, I mean, when you're reading the book, it's like, okay, he sends his trunk and stuff there, and you have to wonder if they were prepared for that or if something along those lines actually did happen.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see that. Well, his stuff's here. Where's Harry? That's going to be cute.
Well, I thought in the book that Dumbledore had told them that he'd be arriving.
Well, yeah.
Not that early.
Right. I think they were just surprised he got there so early.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the first screening review that we saw had said that they were surprised that he was coming, and that was something we had discussed before, that it seemed kind of weird that they wouldn't know he was coming. But this shows that they do know, they just weren't expecting him at that moment.
So early, because I believe in the book it says something about, you know, they had expected that they would run into more trouble.
Right.
Either running into Death Eaters or something.
Or it would take longer to trade Slughorn.
Having issues trying to trace down Slughorn.
Right.
And it would, yeah, they didn't take near as long trying to find him and reel him in as they thought.
Yeah.
So, staying true to the book, according to the HPANA set report teaser, the Weasley's clock will have all hands pointing to mortal peril. And the Weasley's burrow, complete with the family clock, all hands pointing to mortal peril. That's the quote from the teaser set report.
That's good to know. I like the clock.
I love the clock.
Yeah. And it looks like they've given it a makeover this time. It looks different because you can see it in the background of the Harry and Ginny hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun discussing that, trying to figure out what that was.
It looked like a little guy was coming out of it.
Especially you, Scott.
I think it's the...
especially you, Scott, yeah.
The hands on the clock.
Yeah,
that was a big guy.
But it looks completely different than... But we've also heard that the entire burrow itself is going to look different, and we've seen that in the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I never really seen the living room of the burrow in the movies yet, so...
A couple of the screening viewers said that a lot of the sets have changed, but they said, you know, you won't be disappointed. It's all for the better. So...
That's
it
good.
May look different, but it's supposed to be...
Yeah, that's a relief.
Yeah. So there was a scene in Ron's bedroom that was filmed. We had a picture of this leaked quite a long time ago. Bedroom looks a little different, too. A test screening viewer describes this scene. It sounds like it's just going to be a short scene. This picture is when Harry first arrives at the Burrow, and Hermione and Ron tell him, people are saying Dumbledore is not as sharp as he used to be.
I wonder about that.
I was thinking this might be like the scene where Harry tells Ron and Hermione about the prophecy.
Yeah, that was the scene in the book. When he arrives, he tells him about the prophecy. He tells him about going to meet Slughorn.
Yeah.
And something else. There was a third item.
It looks like they forgot about the prophecy, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he also told them about the special lessons with Dumbledore, and that Dumbledore said their owl results were supposed to be arriving.
Yeah.
And Hermione freaked out. How could you not say that before?
Yeah, regarding the prophecy, I had private messaged one of these viewers as well, and they came back and said that it's not mentioned at all. The only thing regarding the prophecy is two mentions of Harry being the chosen one. And that's
it.
Well,
that was a waste of
Yeah.
What was the point in the fifth movie if they're not going to have the prophecy?
They're really downplaying it. It doesn't make any sense. It's so crucial to the ending.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's also, as well, there is no mention of Trelawney or Snape
overhearing
the prophecy
to
the Dark Lord. So
I wonder if they're just going to put all that in Deathly Hallows, too.
Yeah, it's possible, but that's a lot of stuff to be cramming in there.
I know.
Like a big dump. Yeah, like a big dump of information, right?
That whole description and exposition has been cut.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's going to work.
And then a final little scene here was noted by a test screening viewer between Ron and Hermione. At the Burrow, there is some tension between Ron and Hermione when Ron wipes spearmint toothpaste off of Hermione's cheek.
Aww.
What do you think of that? Do you like that?
And actually, I saw another one later that expanded upon that. I don't know if she actually wipes it off it, or if he actually wipes it off her cheek. It said that he points to it, like, on his face, like, the general area, and then she wipes it off or something. But, yeah, there's a scene with spearmint toothpaste.
As long as the girls go, aw.
Well, everybody is really positive about the Ron and Hermione stuff in the movie. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it.
Yeah.
Especially about Rupert Grint.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert's always been a really good comedic actor.
Oh, yeah. Rupert's going to be great with these scenes.
Yeah, especially because he's so good at the comedy, and that's basically what he is. I mean,
yeah.
And this time it's not like the
writers are pushing him to the side again and making Hermione the sidekick more. It's a lot more focused on Ron, which is really good.
Seems like
Hermione's
now on the sidelines now.
Yeah, well, Emma didn't have as much time to film this time around because she was doing school, so... But yeah, everybody's saying that Rupert and Tom Felton both did really good job with this.
Good, that's good to know.
He was also filming that movie.
Yeah.
Ballet Shoes, yeah.
Okay, moving to chapter 6, Draco's Detour. It's going to be quite a long chapter, it seems. The Internet Movie Database has a listing for just a minor character called Scary Face. Kind of odd. Played by Martin Ballantyne. He's going to be uncredited. We've seen somewhere that it was stated his scene will be in Diagon Alley, so not really sure what that is. Could be the person in the book that's selling fake... what were they?
Amulets.
Protection?
Amulets,
protection amulets.
Yeah.
Necklace amulets to...
For your pretty neck.
to Ginny trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that person. We've got quite a bit of info about these scenes from a fan set report way back when. Firstly, Diagon Alley will be seen again, and Ollivander's has been destroyed, as we said earlier. A little excerpt here. We walked around Diagon Alley. Ollivander's had been destroyed. All the windows were smashed, and it was trashed. The shops had complete interiors in case the camera caught a glimpse inside by accident. Quality Quidditch supplies had a Quidditch equipment display, uniforms on dummies, and drawers full of clothing. Florian Fortescue's had fake ice cream sundaes lining the walls on shelves. Bots had hundreds of books inside the doorway piled up, and on shelves, the large books in the windows are actually Watford phone directories covered.
Oh, that's cool. I love how techies find ways to make things like that.
And you, most of the stuff will never be seen.
Still, the attention to detail is
great. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like the postcards they supposedly have signed or written out that'll be in the borough that nobody will probably see.
Yeah, it's hanging up on the wall. When they had all the, the second movie, I think, they had all the little drawings that they had the kids had done from that local school. You don't even really realize it's there, but it does add to the whole, the overall
atmosphere.
Picture of it,
The atmosphere, yeah.
So, expanding on the Ollivanders here once more, the empty shop will be visited according to the MuggleNet test screen review.
That's interesting.
Ollivander's shop is empty. Can you believe they mention it? They do. They even have time to walk inside and feel sad.
I like how it's worded.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good setup for Deathly Hallows, I guess.
Yeah. And that goes back to them showing him being kidnapped at the beginning, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's got to be him in the beginning.
More info from the same set report tells us that the Wheezy's joke shop scene
got
is in the movie. The excerpt, but Weasley Wizard Wheezes stood out in bright orange with a curved front door. It was the most wonderful place. It was like every dream you had as a kid. There were skiving snack boxes, puking pastels, you-know-poo, sweets from floor to ceiling. It had a set of stairs winding up the middle and was three floors high. The detail was amazing. The shelves were crooked with brightly colored goods on every surface. It was truly breathtaking. At the end of our tour, we watched them filming a scene there. You see the scene where Fred and George are talking to Ron on the stairs. He asks them how much for an item. They say 5 galleons. Ron says, but I'm your brother. And they say 10 galleons. Well, I am standing behind the stairs, out of sight by the door. It took 8 takes just for that few seconds. I was told they only complete 2 minutes of film a day.
Wow. I'm excited to see that.
So, we had a reliable source give us the script for this scene.
And we're going to read it.
Yes.
Yes, yep. we are going to act it out as if we were playing the parts in the movie. I am the narrator as well as Ron Weasley.
I am Fred and George.
I'm Ginny.
I'm Hermione.
And Lavender.
And Lavender.
And Aaron is Harry, but he's having some technical difficulties right now and will be back on shortly.
Yep, so on to the script. Okay, scene 24. Internal Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, Diagon Alley, day. Clothes on a shopping bag, bearing Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, clutched in the hand of a boy being pulled by his mother through the throng-packed sardine tight in the store. It's utter madness. Ever-bashing boomerangs whip through the air, Dr. Filibuster's fabulous wet-start no-heat fireworks spit sparks, and nose-biting teacups bear tiny porcelain teeth. Fred and George Weasley, in screaming magenta, stand upon a counter selling to the masses.
Step up, we've got fainting fancy, nosebleed nougats, and just in time for school, puking pastels.
A boy stops chewing, turns pale green, literally.
Into the cauldron, handsome.
Together with the tips of their toes, Fred and George launch a sloshing cauldron down the counter, drop down on either side of Harry, begin to steer him through the store.
What would you think, Harry?
Amazing.
Pocket that and you'll pay in more than gallons, my friend. Or we've got eyes in the back of our heads.
The boy, working a screaming yo-yo, blanches as Fred and George turn, reveal that they do in fact have eyes in the back of their heads. Phony, but unnerving. As the eyes wink, the tiny boy bolts.
Bloody urchins.
Harry eyes a display of orange and black lumps.
Peruvian instant darkness powder?
A real money spinner, that. Handy if you need to make a quick escape. Oh. Hello, ladies.
George drops one of the lumps in Harry's hand, turns to Ginny and Hermione, who peruse a display of Wonder Witch love potions.
Yes, they really work. Then again, the way we hear it, sis, you're doing just fine on your own.
Meaning?
Are you not currently dating Dean Thomas?
Harry pretends to consider a rack of 10-second pimple vanisher, but secretly eavesdrops.
None of your business.
These are adorable.
Inside a cage, small round balls of fluff roll about and squeak.
Aren't they pygmy pups? Can't breed them fast enough.
Just then, a huge boy, Cormac McGlagan, passes behind Hermione and with his eyes takes the full measure of her. Noticing, she turns, receives a faint smile as he moves on. How much for this? A tiny wooden man ascends a tiny gallows and drops. George rides a rolling ladder into frame, drops next to Fred.
5 galleons.
How much for me?
5 galleons.
But I'm your brother!
10 galleons.
Come on, let's go. The trio head for the door, passing Lavender Brown, who smiles flirtatiously at an oblivious Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. So, the very last thing that we found out from this same fan set report, they confirmed that Borgin and Burks is in the film, and there will be wanted posters of Bella and the Caros in Nocturne Alley. We saw Nocturne Alley, but the lights weren't on, so it was by torchlight. This is the excerpt. Saw Borgin and Burks that way. The vanishing cabinet was in the center. It was dark wood with a slanted roof. There were lots of skulls and creepy-looking objects, even creepier due to the lack of lighting. There were wanted posters on the alley walls for Bellatrix and the Caros.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
A test screen viewer described the scene a little bit further. Yes, we see Draco and Borgin and Burks. Greyback is there, too. The trio actually followed Draco and Narcissa to the shop. Did I mention there is no scene at Madame Melkin's? Some of you have asked.
Yeah,
so Narcissa actually accompanies Draco. There are very unique camera angles over Nocturne Alley and Borgin and Burks for this scene. It is fairly well done, though Hermione does not go in. And then another viewer added that we don't actually see the inside of Borgin and Burks. We only see it through a dirty window, and Fenrir Greyback pulls down the shade later on.
Hmm.
So, thoughts on this scene?
I think it worked.
It sounds pretty good, actually. Yeah.
The trio, they use the cloak or not?
Probably.
I don't think anybody said.
Are they using the cloak? Yeah.
Do you find
it would be weird if they didn't use the cloak.
It would be kind of strange.
Like standing in the outfit. Out in the open.
Especially yeah, right Nocturne Alley, yeah.
Just something I found weird now that we've heard some other stuff. The Wanted posters, I thought, you know, they were really setting up the Karos for Deathly Hallows, but we've heard
that we don't all see their face.
They're hardly even seen. I guess somebody said you see their face briefly once, but all the Death Eaters except for Bella, I guess, at the end of the movie are wearing their masks.
Way back in Bella, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really see the point then if they're going
to
find
that weird random then to have those wanted posters to set up their characters and make them noticeable.
And they're going to put masks on them at the end. I don't understand.
Yeah. Could just be that detail because they are escaped Death Eaters, so they do put all that detail in there. And
yeah,
I don't
what's
think
the point of a detail if you're not going to...
Has anybody even mentioned the posters in the film for the test screening? I haven't seen that mentioned.
Yeah, it's possible those could have been cut.
CG isn't finished yet.
Yeah, that's true. She's walking around the set.
Yeah.
So either they weren't in the film, maybe, or...
Just they're in the background and nobody noticed.
Yeah, maybe they don't do a close-up on
it.
Like,
very dark.
Like Sirius Black's poster in Prisoner of Azkaban. So what do you think about Greyback actually being there, as well as Narcissa?
I think it's a really great setup in this movie.
Different than the book, that's for sure.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like that. I mean, they're setting up the protectiveness of Narcissa there by having her go with him. But I don't know that they seem to have cut her worrying so much like she did in the book. She seems more cold from what people said.
Yeah.
I think it is good that we see it shot from the outside because in the book, that's how it was too, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, they were outside. They didn't know what was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
They whip out their extendable ear.
Yeah. Are they going to use those again? Has anybody said anything about they are using those?
I mean, they might because of that. They were in the fifth movie. Right? Why not bring them back?
Yeah.
They're established in the
fifth movie. They hear the dialogue.
They're not exactly known for continuity.
Well, true.
Yeah, good point.
That is true.
Yeah, good point.
How else are we going to hear the dialogue? We're not just going to be
watching. Oh, Scott, I don't think they care about logic in the movies.
Later scene we had, it kind of sounds like they didn't hear anything. They just saw Draco go in there and he was...
All right.
So maybe...
Right.
So we see a muted scene, basically, of them talking and we don't have any clue what it's about.
That's kind of my impression. Yeah.
Right? Interesting.
I think we see the vanishing cabinet. I think we see it there.
Just wonder.
I wonder if they'll show the necklace as well.
Yeah. Isn't that what he just when he was there?
Yeah, that was something else that was brought up.
And the Hand of Glory, if that's included.
I think that's at the end, isn't it?
Maybe. Well, yeah, but didn't he buy it there? He already had it in his possession.
Yeah.
But if that's included, it almost seems like they might have set that up because they included the vanishing powder in the joke shop scene.
They did.
If they were going to use it at the end, although it wasn't really explained what it does, but the name is kind of self-explanatory.
Unless there was only like a detail in the shop. And that's it.
Yeah.
What do you think of Madame Malkin's being cut?
I kind of
knew that one of those three scenes there in that chapter, I kind of figured that one of them would be cut.
Yeah.
And that was really, you know, the one that I cared about the least.
Yeah, it was a good scene to have the confrontation there, which they can work it into that too, though.
It was so cold with, what was it, you know, I'm sure Potter will be
seeing Sirius before I see Lucius. So I mean, she was kind of cold and haughty in the book. It was just nodded Spinner's End.
Yep. Yeah, we can only have so much. And the two, I'm really happy with the joke shop scene. And
oh, yeah.
Sounds
yeah,
really
so cool. Am I.
The joke shop scene sounds great. Perfect. Yeah.
And all the test viewers have just said that it's a great scene. Some of them even said it's their favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's saying something. I mean,
yeah. For
of all the scenes in this movie, yeah.
For the scene that it's going to be. Well, I mean, absolutely loved the...
I mean, I hope it's not better than The Cave. I mean...
yeah.
I would hope not.
Well, like
you
in
know,
the
hour,
Order
yeah.
of the Phoenix, I absolutely loved the scene with the twins where they... with the fireworks and
everything. Oh, so that was great, yeah.
Except for Peeves. There has no...
Yeah, that's the only thing missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up our discussion of the chapters for this episode. And again, if there's any new developments on these chapters, when we bring you our next episode in 2 weeks, we will come back to it and discuss those. So thanks for listening.
Bye.
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 Did you know, sir? There.
Did I know I just met the most dangerous dark wizard of all time? No.
Smile if your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just
smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Smile, it's only 10 months and 4 days.